in the meeting here. They're just here to help record it for me because it's gonna, you know, look better than if I recorded it on my own laptop. So
no problem.
All right. How's it any better in Kansas? I know last time we talked, the storms had just hit. It's snowing again right behind me here, but
yeah, warmed up a bit here. So we're getting a little bit of a melt today, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, that's good. It's super icy here today, so I hope it doesn't get too bad down there.
Yeah, getting ready to jump on an airplane, head to Las Vegas for the SHOT Show.
Oh, cool. When's that, this weekend?
Yeah, well, it starts today, okay. And it'll run up through the weekend. But yeah, I gotta leave there and head out to DC. I got some business out there, and then, you know, repack the horse, and I think Nashville comes after that. So here we go.
Yeah, busy guy.
Yeah, lots to do.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, I appreciate you taking the time and sitting down and talking with me again today.
No problem.
Gonna make the story a lot better. Before we jump in, you got any questions for me?
No, I think I'm good.
Cool.
Awesome. I asked it last time. I just, you know, I do a fair amount of these interviews. The only thing I ever say is, you know, I hope you come in, you know, objective.
Yep.
Put absolutely the facts out there, make everybody, you know, ask the hard questions to me and all the other stakeholders, and then just tell the truth like your daddy taught you when you were a kid.
Yep. That's, you know, that's always the goal here. So, all right. I think let's jump in if you're ready then. Cool. I'm going to start you off super easy. Can you give me your name, how to spell it, and your title?
Yeah. Keith, K-E-I-T-H, Mark, M-A-R-K, and I'm the founder and president of Hunter Nation, H-U-N-T-E-R, capital N-A-T-I-O-N. Last name, just M-A-R-K, like a first name.
Perfect. All right. Awesome. First question I got for you is, why are you and your organization so passionate about this wolf hunt and wolf management plan in Wisconsin?
Well, first of all, I'm passionate about the American hunter, and I'm passionate about the hunting lifestyle. And so I'm involved and interested in any issue that impacts the American hunter and the hunting lifestyle. Deeper than that, really, all the traditional American values, God, family, country, the Constitution, and our hunting lifestyle. So the predator management is something that's extremely important when you start looking at conservation. The North American model of conservation was put together to protect and enhance all species, not just one or two, or handpick a few winners and losers. And so when you're talking about an apex predator like the wolf, and you look at what's going on in states like Wisconsin, Northern Michigan, where you have an unmanaged wolf population, you're seeing a definite decline in deer populations, really all prey populations in those areas. And so that is definitely to the detriment of the hunting lifestyle. When you look at Wisconsin hunters over the years, Wisconsin deer harvest, and I have a lot of friends that live in Wisconsin. Times are tough right now in America, and they rely on the venison that they put in their freezer every single year. And this year, in the great state of Wisconsin, rifle hunters had the lowest harvest numbers in recorded history. As that happened, and again, people say, well, how do you know that's the wolves? Well, if you look at deer harvest over the years compared to wolf populations over the years, there is a direct correlation between the two. About when wolves hit 549 in your state, the deer population, it was unsustainable to the deer population. And since then, you've seen a decline in your deer harvest and a steadily increase in your wolf population.
And we had talked about this on the phone, so I'll bring it up right here because it segues perfectly. So you would attribute that decline in the deer harvest more to the wolf population than the hunter population declining slightly.
Well, think about this. The North American model of conservation and all of the state DNR agencies, they evaluate the number of deer in the state, and then they decide how many deer need to be harvested. And of course, I'm sure you were in seventh grade biology when they talked about habitat and carrying capacity. The state of Wisconsin only has X amount of acreage that is amenable to a healthy deer population. And so they calculate how many deer can live in a healthy, thriving state on that habitat. And then they decide how many deer will be that surplus, and we harvest them. So if there were 10 hunters and they each had to shoot 15 deer, the state would regulate tags accordingly. If there's 600,000 hunters, then they regulate the tags accordingly. So the number of hunters has absolutely nothing to do with the level of deer harvest if your DNR is doing their job, which I believe, at least historically, they've tried to.
Why is your organization suing over the management plan in 2023? And over the phone, we had talked about moving goalposts and stuff like that. So I guess my question gets...
Well, let me just start you with this. We haven't filed any lawsuit as of yet. We're looking at the possibilities of all legal recourse based on the current wolf management plan. I would highly encourage you to go to hunternation.org and then the drop-down link under advocacy, and then you'll see a link to all our wolf page. And when you go there, you're going to see what I believe to be the real wolf facts, the true story of the gray wolf in America. And what you're going to see is back in the 70s, when the wolf was placed on the endangered species list, there were some set population goals that were established. And once those population goals were established, then it would be deemed that the wolf was then back at a healthy population level, and wolves would then be managed. They would be taken off of the endangered species list, and then the management of the gray wolf would go back to the states for management, like they do deer and elk and moose and bear and cougar and pheasants and quail and all of the wildlife within their border. But what happened is, in a very short period of time, and we have the timeline. I can give you, this pamphlet that I'm looking at right here is readily available on our webpage. And I encourage you to do it. By 1992, the wolf population in the Great Lakes exceeded the recovery criteria. 1992. So of course, then the feds delisted the wolf, and management went back to the states and the great, well, wait a minute, they didn't do that. They revised the management plan to increase the number of wolves that were required before management would go back to the states. Hence my reference to moving the goalposts. By 2000, the Northern Rocky Mountain recovery goals were met. So in 2003, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, they moved the gray wolf from endangered to threatened. And then in 2004, they proposed delisting the wolf. What happened? Well, they got sued by the anti-hunting groups and said, no, wait a minute, we need more study, we need more wolves. We can't say that they've recovered, even though everyone agreed on the numbers. So did they delist the wolf? No. So since 2000, when wolves first met the recovery goals that I just mentioned to you, to now, every time U.S. Fish and Wildlife attempts to delist the wolf, they get sued by anti-hunting groups, ties it up in court, and the wolf, who should be a majestic, beloved animal here in America, has been used like a political football or a political pawn in the court system, to the detriment of conservation, wildlife management, and certainly deer, elk, and moose populations in the affected states. So in 2011, Congress delisted the wolf for the first time. Congressional action stepped in superseded the courts and said in the states of Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming, the gray wolf was considered not endangered and they could be managed at the state level without judicial review. It's critical, John, that you understand what that meant, without judicial review. So the states, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming, then got the management of the wolf back. But I should tell you, put a little caveat there. Before management was allowed to go back to each of those states, they had to prepare and pass legislatively and then have approved by U.S. Fish and Wildlife the state management plans on how they intended to manage the gray wolf within their states. And you know what those plans all have in common? They have set population goals to match what U.S. Fish and Wildlife requires as a healthy wolf population within those states. Let me repeat that for the hearing impaired. Those states set population goals that were congruent with what U.S. Fish and Wildlife said would be required to have a sustainable, thriving, and healthy wolf population. And in fact, if you go and you can see these plans, all of them are on our website, each state called for a buffer of wolves, more wolves in a population number within those states than U.S. Fish and Wildlife required. So the states of Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming have done a great job of managing their wolf population since the delisting in those three states. I would also tell you, on a very positive note, that the anti-hunters didn't like that. So they filed a lawsuit in the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit ruled unanimously that the congressional action was valid, which you can't get a court to decide anything unanimously anymore, but they did it. And the antis asked the U.S. Supreme Court to review that, and they denied certiorari, which means that they agreed that the lower court was correct. There was no issue that they would change on review. So those three states are still managing and killing wolves as you and I speak today. So time continues to go on. U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the timeline is on our website. You can see it, and there's a citation. You can click on the link and see exactly the truth behind everything we assert there. U.S. Fish and Wildlife says wolves are at a sustainable level. We need to remove them from the endangered species list. Anti-hunters file lawsuit. U.S. Fish and Wildlife backs off, or a federal judge says, no, we need more studies. The number's not correct, and so on and so forth. That brings us up to now. What's happened now? U.S. Fish and Wildlife, once again, 2021, said delist the wolf. I think it was 2020 into 2021. And activist groups file a lawsuit, find a liberal activist judge in California who once again stays that, puts the wolf back on the Endangered Species Act. And so we have states that are still left to deal with an unmanaged wolf population. And the wolf population continues to grow and the game population continues to shrink. And I just ask those that love the wolf, why? Why? Do you not love the moose? Do you not love the deer? Do you not love the elk? Do you not love the livestock that are being attacked by an unchecked, unmanaged wolf population? Pets? I mean, we get letters and emails from people that have lost pets, dogs, I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but I don't think you have to look very far into the distant future that eventually, as bears and mountain lions have posed problems on human populations, it's only a matter of time. There in your own state of Wisconsin, somebody shot a wolf here on Christmas Eve on their front porch. Literally, the wolf is at the doorstep. So I say, all of the stakeholders, all the hunting and conservation groups, the those groups that love the wolf and only the wolf, Those groups that love the elk and only the elk, and those groups that love the mule deer and only the mule deer, and those groups that focus a lot on Africa but do believe in conservation, all should come together and figure out a formula to make this work. And it isn't 1,500 wolves in Wisconsin. It isn't 2,000 wolves in Wisconsin. It's not 600 wolves in Wisconsin. It has to be a number that is sustainable for the wolf population and is not too great that the herd populations of deer and other prey wildlife, you know, that they can sustain and be healthy themselves.
So do you think that there is common ground to find between all of those stakeholders, like you were just talking?
Well, I would answer that with a question. How can there not be? I although sometimes in my, try to pick my words carefully, sometimes I wonder if these anti-hunting groups really care about wildlife like they say, because they sure don't put their money where their mouth is. You can look at the Pittman-Robertson Act and see how much money that the American hunter pours into conservation on an annual basis. Billions of hunter dollars go to fund your Wisconsin DNR, Michigan DNR, Pennsylvania DNR, Kansas DNR, all of them, that their funding comes from hunter dollars. Does the Defenders of Wildlife put any money towards game management, paying the salaries of DNR in any of these states? Any of them? I'm curious. I'd ask that question. I don't believe they do. So if they truly do care about wildlife conservation in spite of not putting their money where their mouth is, surely they want to see a sustainable population of deer. Surely they want to see a sustainable population of elk and moose and all the other animals. Or maybe, and you know, I'm not saying I believe this, but I sure hear this a lot from some people, or maybe their objective is they hate the thought of hunting so much. They hate the fact that there are these rugged, individualist, self-reliant, self-sustaining individuals that live this hunting lifestyle, that know how to go out into the woods like our ancestors did and procure meat, butcher the meat, cook the meat, fill the freezers of their families, fill the freezers of their friends, Hunters for the Hungry and Catholic Charities and many more of these hunting Feed the Hungry organizations out there are feeding people that need the protein desperately. But if the anti-hunting groups hate hunting so much that they would rather decimate the deer, elk, and moose populations just so humans can hunt them, then you'll never find common ground. But if they're honest, if they're intellectually honest, if they're spiritually honest, and they do want healthy populations of wolf, elk, moose, bear, obviously, John, obviously there is common ground to solve this equation.
Last question I got for you. What should the next steps be? There is the management plan that came out, but nobody really likes it right now. What should the next steps be in Wisconsin?
Well, the legislators and the DNR in Wisconsin need to take two steps back, is my recommendation. They need to go back and look at the original management plan and then take a step back from there. What led them to draft the original state wolf management plan in Wisconsin? It was the original U.S. Fish and Wildlife guidelines. So go back to the beginning. Go back to the original deal that was struck. How many wolves, when they knew they were migrating across from Minnesota into Wisconsin, into other regions, what did U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and it's on my deal, I could tell you, but you can do a little homework here and your listeners can as well. How many wolves did the U.S. Fish and Wildlife set as a quota and a goal that would indicate a recovery, if you want to use that word, but a completely successful number of wolves in Wisconsin before the state would then take on management? Because what happened when your original plan was done, John, your legislators looked at that number and said, you know, we understand that's a bare minimum number. And we don't want to just be average here in Wisconsin because we're better than that. We're true conservationists. We want to overachieve pursuant to the North American model of conservation. So we're going to set the number of wolves significantly greater than that. So we never even get close to that bare bones minimum. And if we can stay at the level that we set in this original plan, your original legislators said, that we are going to have a sustaining, thriving, healthy wolf population, and it will allow us to continue to have a thriving deer population in our state, because our state is made up of a lot of hunters, and we want to make sure that we don't hurt our hunters and their ability to procure food for their family through their hunting lifestyle by having too many wolves. And here's the plan. And you know what? That's where they need to go. They need to go back to there. They need to live up to the original bargain. And let's work our way to a set number that was originally agreed upon. And here's what I'm going to tell you. There's two doors. It's like a game show. Except, you know what, John, it isn't a damn game. There's two doors. One of the two is going to get opened. Either these people that do not really want to manage wildlife with sound biological information and sound science and within the true meaning, spirit, and letter of the North American model of conservation, and they're going to allow an unchecked, unmanaged wolf population to continue to wreak havoc in Wisconsin. And what you're going to end up with is you're going to end up with so few deer that there won't be a hunting season. When there's no hunting season, then under behind door number one, Wisconsin will lose their hunters. If you lose your hunters, you lose the most rugged, the most self-reliant, the warrior gene spirit that has made Wisconsin great since you guys became a state and even before. Behind door two is the common ground that I see you're looking to find. And it's going to be a sustainable wolf population. So the people that love only the wolf are going to see the wolf at the level that is sustainable and healthy. It's going to be a sustainable deer population, much better than what you have now, back into the days when every hunter that went out that wanted to put deer in his freezer had the opportunity to do it. And you're going to see a Wisconsin where the wildlife is managed not only within the letter of the North American model of conservation, but within the spirit of that, and all of the game and prey populations are going to thrive. And I don't know about you. You know, I think you told me you don't really hunt anymore, but you grew up in a hunting family. Door number one is not acceptable to me. Door number one is not acceptable to my Wisconsin members. And I can't imagine that door number one is really acceptable to anyone short of radical anti-hunters that don't really want to find common ground. So I'm going to strive and work and fight like hell for door number two, John. That's what I'm going to do, and that's what Hunter Nation's going to do.
That's all I got for you. But is there anything that we haven't talked about yet that you would want to mention?
You know, I had mentioned to you that I thought it would be a good idea to get all the stakeholders in the room, and apparently Right. Everyone's too busy. No one even ran a date by me. I didn't say I was too busy. You know, I find it extremely hard to believe that somebody from the Native councils couldn't jump on a Zoom call today or tomorrow or next week or 2 weeks from tomorrow. I find it extremely difficult. Somebody from the DNR couldn't jump on a call like this. I find it extremely hard to believe that all these people that are busier than all get out, but if they really cared about this issue, they would find time to get on a group call like this and try to find that common ground. And the fact that I'm the only one that wanted to do it ought to speak volumes for what group wants to find the middle ground and what groups don't.
All right. That's all I got for you.
And I hope you print that.
We will see. I hope to.
Well, you got to have a scrotum to print that, John, right? Because it's going to be uncomfortable. Those groups aren't going to like the fact that they got called out for not finding time to find common ground. Right. And, you know, we want to find common ground. I want to find a healthy population of wolves in Wisconsin. I want to find those healthy population of deer. And so I'm willing to invest my time. And I'll say it again. I'd be happy to, I'll fly in person to sit around a table to try to find common ground with Chris Vaughn, my state director, and the shareholders and stakeholders up there in Wisconsin. Otherwise, I don't think they're serious about the issue. I think you can talk bold, you know, behind a keyboard. You can come up and grab a mic and talk bold in a council meeting or on a House or Senate floor. But why not solve the problem? Why do we have to be so divided? Why do we have to have so much gridlock in this country? Why don't we roll up our sleeves and do what we all say we want to do, is have good, sustainable wildlife populations in Wisconsin? And those that aren't willing to sit around a table and try to solve it, I don't think they want to solve it.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you sitting down and talking to me today.
Yep. Take care.
Yeah, same. This story is going to run at some point in February, I believe. Once it does, I will get you that link.
I'll give you one other quote that I wish you would put in there. I will say this about some of the politicians in Wisconsin. You do have a congressman from up there named Tom Tiffany. Mm-hmm. And Tom Tiffany has gone to a lot of trouble to get to the bottom line of this wolf issue. And Tom is trying to find that middle ground. Tom is willing to work with all sides to try to find that middle ground. And I understand that a lot of people don't want to solve it because they're raising a lot of money to fight this issue. And that's people on both sides, unfortunately. Some conservation groups, I don't believe, really want to solve it, John, because they're raising money among their members. Like, oh my gosh, it's like the gun issue. You know, the NRA makes more money and more guns are sold when a Democrat's in office because of the fear mongering. And that's how problems don't get solved. The border, they don't really want to solve the border crisis because too many people are making money off the crisis. And hence your readers or listeners say, oh, that Hunter Nation is just a far-right Republican organization. I'm a lifelong Democrat. And I don't believe that conservation should be defined by an R or a D. I truly would hope that my people on my side of the aisle with R's or D's and the same on your side would really want to find that common ground behind door number two. And like I said, I'm a lifelong Democrat, but I don't think wildlife should be a political pawn. I don't think it should be a pawn in the court system. I think it ought to be something that people that of both parties, of all colors, of all creeds, all religions, ought to want to sit down and solve this problem. And Hunter Nation wants to be part of the solution. I don't want to fuss with these people, but we have to sit down to do it. There has to be some interest in trying to find that middle ground. And, you know, Hunter Nation, here we are, willing to sit down anywhere, anytime to discuss the issues and try to find that. And Tom Tiffany's a good one.
I'll have to see what he's been working on. I know that he was doing some stuff, but I haven't kept up with him recently.
He has a bill. He has a bill called the Trust the Science Bill that got out of the Natural Resources Committee in D.C. I think there's some appetite to see that bill get through. There's a companion bill in the Senate that doesn't have any teeth in it that I think Ron Johnson and even Tammy Baldwin, which would be awesome, a Republican and a Democrat senator work together to fix this crisis. It'll help your own home state more than any other state at this moment, maybe other than Northern Michigan, and get the wolf delisted in the continental 48 states without judicial review. That's Tom's bill. It's very simple. Congressman Tiffany's bill is for a continental 48 delisting with no judicial review. That doesn't mean that you're going to hunt wolves in Wisconsin. What it means is that the state of Wisconsin would then have the ability to decide what you want to do, much like the recent abortion decision. It goes back to the states, and the states do what they believe is best. And because there are elected employees up there in the state house, if they don't do what we want them to do, we fire those employees and go hire new employees in the ballot box next election cycle. And I reckon that's what will happen in Wisconsin and Michigan and all the other states where this issue would come back to. And if the legislators don't get it right, then we the people fire those elected employees and find others. That's how the system's worked since 1776. And that's how it can continue to work. But so Tom's bill is very plain. Just get the state, get them off the endangered species list because they're not endangered. They're not threatened. I mean, there's abundantly more wolves in Wisconsin than they ever called for. And let Wisconsin management as they see fit. And if they don't do it right, we the people will fix our employees.
It would be incredible if Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin agreed on something. That's a rare thing around this state.
they have a joint bill in the Senate right now on this.
Oh, okay.
It's just not right at the level of Tom Tiffany's, because right, any bill that does not include no judicial review will continue to let the wolf be a judicial pawn. And so if they will tweak their bill to include all states, including the western states like Utah, or all the contiguous states like Kansas and Nebraska, where wolves are going to cross the border from Colorado, or just much like what happened to you in Wisconsin, you know, they crossed the border and came. It's kind of like our southern border. I mean, there's not really any definitive border. Wolves don't know. They just come. They're looking for food anywhere they find it. And they'll come to Kansas and kill our wildlife and livestock just like they're going to do in Colorado. So if you can get a continental 48 delisting, which means all the states can decide their fate with no judicial review, which means liberal or conservative judges don't get to put their thumbprint on the scale, let the state DNRs manage the wolf just like they have done for years, all the wildlife. It's so perfect, John. I can't even believe we're fussing about it. Honestly, if anyone would oppose what Tom Tiffany proposed, that we do a continental 48 delisting with no judicial review, they're just silly. Because that's so simply perfect that if you're opposed to that, you're silly.
All right. I think that's all I got for you for real this time.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Have a good one.
Yeah. Thank you. You too. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Yep. Take care.
Yep. You too. Bye-bye.